Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
G'day, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined today by AMP's Chief Economist and Head of Investment Strategy, Dr. Shane Oliver. Thanks for coming on the show today, Shane.
It's my pleasure, Tom. Thanks for having me on the program.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's fair to say that 2022 has been a year of flux in the financial world, with rising inflation and cash rate hikes from central banks around the world among the more considerable factors influencing everybody's day-to-day lives. And I know that we could probably pick your brains on either of those topics, Shane, but the topic that we dragged you on to delve into today is about the volatility that we've been seeing in global share markets. So perhaps you could set the scene for us by, you know, reminding us how the markets performed last year and then how they've been faring so far this year.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. Last year was actually a very strong year for investment markets, particularly equities and global equities in particular, with double-digit gains out of US and globally. Of course, Australia lagged a little bit, but it still had a double-digit gain through last year. And that provided very strong returns for investors who might have had a balanced portfolio of assets. And of course, bond yields rose, but the rise wasn't so dramatic as to cause major losses on bonds. So last year was a very strong year. Some would say, well, maybe that set us up for a rougher time this year. Last year saw very low volatility. I know we all think of it as a rough year because of well, parts of Australia anyway, particularly New South Wales and Victoria, saw more lockdowns. But the biggest drawdown, and by drawdown I mean a little correction, top to bottom fall in markets against the rising trend, the biggest drawdown in the Australian share market was 6%. The biggest drawdown in the US market was 5%. That's actually an extremely low volatility year. History, though, shows that once you have extremely low volatility years, the next year is a lot more volatile, and that's what we're seeing so far year to date. And these numbers will bounce around a lot given the volatility we're seeing. But so far year to date, the US share market, as measured by the S&P 500, is down by almost 20% to its low point a couple of weeks back. The US share market had a fall of almost 24%.
Wow!
Now, obviously, that fall has been led by tech stocks because they were a key beneficiary of the low interest rates period we had in the pandemic, and they're seen as more speculative, so they did very well, but they're doing very badly this year. They're so far this year down about almost 29%. And of course, this is all weighed on Bitcoin, which I guess is extremely speculative, and it's had a horrible year to date. And from its high last November, is still running around, around 70% down. Now, of course, other markets have had greater or lesser falls, but generally speaking, global shares have had a fall of about 20%, a little bit less. Japan's managed to hold up a little bit better because it's one of the few countries that hasn't seen interest rate hikes, and they don't seem to be anywhere on the horizon just yet. Australian share market, out of interest, is it's been pretty rough, but we're only down about 10%, emphasis on the word only. It's still horrible, but not nearly as bad as it might have been in global markets. And of course, driving this volatility has been much higher than expected inflation. Inflation in the US and Europe around 8%, many other countries around 7%. In Australia, we've picked up to around 5%, probably also on our way to about 7%. That means central banks have had to jam on the brakes. Interest rate hikes, of course, Australia's joined that group of central banks hiking as well, and this has led to concerns about recession, and concerns about recession combined with rising bond yields on the back of high inflation have put pressure on share markets, both from a concern about company profits and also a concern about valuations.
Obviously, you don't have a crystal ball, Shane, but do you expect this volatility to continue on for the near future, given what you've just been talking about inflation and other factors that are still at play?
Well, I mean, some would say all economists must have a crystal ball. It's part of their job. But most economists don't admit that their crystal balls aren't as accurate as they would like to point out. And I think relying on a forecast to drive an investment strategy can sometimes be risky. But the benefit of economists and other experts is that they put things in perspective and can put some parameters around things and give you an idea, often based on history, which is what I like to do. If I think if you're unsure about what's happening in markets, you can get some guidance by looking at history and how they pan out through these corrections. But I think history tells me that we're probably still going to see a bit more downside here because uncertainty around whether we're going to have a recession or not remains high. Mm. So whether we have one or not, that uncertainty will be there for a while yet. And we're probably going to start seeing some earnings downgrades over the course of the next 6 months in Australia and globally, and that will weigh on share markets. And historically, it's usually halfway through the process of earnings downgrades when markets bottom. So I suspect that given that earnings uncertainty and recession uncertainty, and given the fact that we haven't necessarily seen central banks yet at their most hawkish, that we could still see some more downside. And history also tells me that the period out to September, October can often be rough. You know, we're coming into the third quarter. It's often one of the weakest quarters of the year. Mm. And you've got the concerns about the US midterm elections coming up in November. So all of those things, I think, suggest we could probably see some more downside from here. But at the very least, volatility, I think, will remain high for some time to come. Even though I'm optimistic on a 12-month horizon, you know, as markets go down, they're cheaper, valuations improve, and I think ultimately the inflation fears will settle down because supply will pick up, and as demand slows a little bit, then that will enable inflation to come off, enabling better share market returns on a 12-month horizon. But for the next 3-4 months, I suspect we've probably got more downside.
So there's probably a lot of people listening right now who are thinking, what do I do? What should I do right now? So do you have any tips that you can kind of share with investors out there, given, you know, the environment that we're in?
I do. I mean, one of the benefits of being an economist over a long period of time, and I guess in my role, I've sort of had a dual role. I mean, I look at the economy, but it's not the only thing. I look at share markets and investment markets too. And I've been able to learn from masters, lots of people like Warren Buffett have impacted me, but also Australian people like Dr. Don Stammer, who's an economist, was a well-known economist when I started my career at Bain & Company and then subsequently Deutsche Bank. Yeah, given me ideas that I think have helped frame my way of looking at markets. And I think one of the two key things that Dr. Don Stammer would always say is that for investors, make sure you make the most of compound interest and always allow that there's a cycle. He calls compound interest magical. Now, of course, sometimes it doesn't work. You get these setbacks in markets. The worst one in Australia was in 1973-74 when the Aussie share market fell 59%, you know, almost a 60% decline, horrific fall. I kind of blame that on Elvis starting to go downhill in the 70s and cancellation of my favourite TV show, The Brady Bunch, in 1974. But there were other factors at the time. Obviously, the OPEC crisis and stagflation, geopolitical tensions and so on, all playing a role back then. But that was a horrific time. But an investor who sort of stuck to their guns ultimately would have got the benefit of compounding interest with investing in shares, because history also tells us that markets recover. And oftentimes when people jump out of the market, when you've gone down like this, you end up locking in a loss because you'll sleep better at night as the market remains volatile, but you probably won't get back in till the market's gotten back to the top. Because initially when the markets are rallying, people are skeptical. They don't believe it. They think it's a dead cat bounce. The main tips I would say is, you know, as an investor to grow your wealth, you've got to make the most of compound interest. You've got to be in there for the long term. Don't get blown off by cyclical swings in markets. Yes, they happen. They're inevitable. In fact, the volatility we see in share markets is the price we pay for higher returns from shares over the longer term compared to most other assets. So make sure you don't get thrown off from a good, well-thought-out investment strategy just because of a cyclical downswing. Recognize that when markets go down, they actually get cheaper. You know, you probably need to adopt the mindset of a shopper When prices go down, we buy more. But typically, when investment markets go down, we sell. that's perverse, because right now you can buy shares on much lower PEs. I think the PE on the Aussie share market's around 13 or 14 times, depending on which way you measure it. Earlier this year, and at the high point last August, yeah, we were pushing around 20 times. So the market's trading on a price to earnings multiple way down from what it was 6, 9 months ago. And that tells you there's better long-term buying in there. Those shares are going to provide you higher returns over the longer term than they would have at the high point late last year, early this year. So look out for the opportunities that are provided through these rough patches. Also allow that shares are still paying good dividends. You know, the dividends may get cut a little bit, but they're still offering good dividends. So if you're in there for the cash flow, you can still do better out of shares where the gross franked up dividend yield is around 6% than you can do out of bank deposits, where bank deposit rates are going up, but they're still very low. And the final key point I would say is, through this environment, it is very difficult. It's very stressful. No one likes to see the value of their wealth or their investments go down. But I think one of the key things to do is try and turn down the noise. You know, watch reruns of the Brady Bunch. Most people wouldn't do that, but there's heaps of other things you can do rather than, you know, watch every tick and tack of the financial news, because that can just confuse you. And a lot of that financial news is very negative right now. But it is just worth bearing in mind that markets bottom out when everyone is most pessimistic, when the news is most negative. So just bearing that in mind, that as we go through this period, you won't get the bottom precisely. It's extremely difficult. But as things get more negative, that usually provides opportunities, and markets bottom out ultimately when everyone is negative, not when they're positive. So they're the keys to me. Make the most of compound interest, invest for the long term. Don't get thrown off by cyclical swings. Recognize that market falls throw up opportunities, and turn down the noise.
More Brady Bunch. That's not what I thought we'd be taking away from this episode, but there you go. I might have to give it a go at some point and stop doom scrolling on my phone.
Well, we all do that. I have the joke, you know, if you swipe left, or whatever it is, I'm not on Tinder. If I swipe left, I get the news, top news on my Apple phone, and it's usually doom and gloom stuff. And I come away thinking, oh, geez, the world's horrible. That's terrible. But what's really happened is, yeah, we are going through a rough patch, but yeah, that news has become more accessible. It used to be just at 6 p.m. when you'd watch your nightly news bulletin, but now you get it all through the day, because if you're on the train or staring out the window or bored or something, you flick on the phone and up pops the news, which is invariably negative.
That's right. Although I would suggest that Money Magazine is a safe place to go for a balanced take on the news.
Yeah, it's more balanced. That I think is a key. You've got to find something that helps collate stuff for you in a balanced way. That's why, you know, particular financial service or Money Magazine or something like that, these things curate it for you in a way that is more balanced. Whereas if you're just on your phone swiping around looking for exciting news stories, you'll just click on the negative ones and you'll end up more negative for it, and it probably won't help your investment decision-making at all.
Excellent advice. And speaking of negatives, there's a vacuum cleaner steadily approaching my apartment, so I think it's probably a good time to draw a line under today's episode. So thank you so much for joining us today, Shane. It's been a real pleasure having you on.
Thanks, Tom. You certainly don't want to get sucked up by that vacuum cleaner, but the noise will soon get us if that doesn't happen. But yeah, it's been a pleasure being on the program.
Before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover to our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories, both positive and negative, that nice balanced approach. But that's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.